are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, with News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Glad to have you back. And your Spurs will look to snap that losing streak tonight as they visit the Clippers out in Los Angeles. It'll be the first of the first game of a little mini road trip, which features the Clippers and the Lakers. So about that, the Spurs are on a four-game losing streak right now. But as much as it may appear to be kind of doom and gloom early, it actually may not be. And if we're going to be trying to look for the positives out of a losing streak, that makes sense to y'all. So we'll be discussing that as well as previewing tonight's Clippers-Spurs matchup, the first of the new season. To do that, I am joined by Spurs Zone contributor, co-host of At The Line Podcast and At The Line Spurs YouTube show, Ty Yeager. Follow him on Twitter at The Ty Yeager. Ty, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. By the way, I love your optimism. You're very optimistic, win or lose for your San Antonio Spurs.
I think everyone knows at this point I'm the optimistic of the group. So it's as... I don't want to be as Homer, but I still have to. I'm not always doing the Homer call, but I still have tried to find some bright spot in this because it's not always doom and gloom. Especially, I think this season is most of it. And I'll explain it later, but it's not all doom and gloom this season.
Yeah, I know we're gonna get into it in a few minutes, but let's table that for 2 seconds. What is going on with At The Line Podcast and At The Line YouTube show?
All right, well, At The Line Podcast just came up with a new episode this past weekend. We actually did Spurs trivia with the Evens Odds podcast. If you've never heard them, they're just kind of like a trivia podcast for basketball stuff. So they do a lot of trivia. And so we had a fun time. Go check that out on anywhere you get your podcast. And then, we are doing the At The Line post-game call-in show. So you guys can always call into that every live after every single game. We're also doing occasional pre-game shows and watch parties like we just did with the Jazz game. So make sure to check out our Twitter for more information on that. That's going to be At The Line Show for the show, of course, and then At The Line Pod for the podcast.
Simple as that. And again, follow Ty on Twitter at The Ty Yeager. So Ty, 4-game losing skid. Let's dive into that right now. And look, there's, everybody hates losing. Spurs are professional athletes. Of course, they're going to hate losing. But I've been in the media sessions pretty much for almost the entire season, and I don't understand why Spurs fans are surprised by this. If this is what they wanted, the young guys to get run, this comes with the territory. That is actually a good thing. I'm actually happy they're losing right now, Ty. Your thoughts?
So there's another thing with it where some people are like adamantly telling this team to tank, yet they don't want to see the team lose. So it makes no sense to me. I never want this team to ever tank. I never want to see any of my teams tank. But there's gonna be people that want their team to tank, of course. But it's like, if you want them to tank, why are you getting mad about them losing? It makes no sense. But yes, it's good. The young guys are getting run, and they're going to go through some growing pains. Again, this is a transition season. I don't expect them to be contenders, but I also don't expect them to be. I don't expect this team to be bottom five, bottom ten in the league. That's just not how this team is built. But again, they're going to go through some growing pains. They're also going through some injuries already early to start the season. And we saw 2 seasons ago what happened when this team got off to a injured early season. Whenever DeJounte went out with his ACL tear, then both Derek White and Lonnie Walker went out, and so they didn't play early on in the season, and it just wasn't pretty. But that's what's going to happen whenever you are injured to start the season. LaMarcus Aldridge has been out for the past 4 games with that knee soreness. You had Derek White come back for that Lakers game, which was probably the best Spurs performance-wise. But then he went out again with a injury. You said this right. This is a brand new injury on his toe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Popovich said this is a brand new re-injury of the toe that he had surgery on in the offseason. And according to Popovich, Ty, and I was surprised you didn't have video on this because you're, the king of the clip wars. Popovich said it was obvious that he banged it in the last game versus the Lakers. I didn't see any of that. I didn't see White get hobble or limp or anything. But according to Pop, he says it's there, that everybody can see it. But nevertheless, yeah, it's a re-injury to the previous injury that required surgery. So, and he called it just dumb luck.
So, but it's, again, so this team is 0-4 without LaMarcus Aldridge, which I really find fascinating. I don't understand why, especially with his performance, but also it's against non-lottery teams, as you would say. But still, it's kind of a interesting stat. But again, this team is injured. They're not able to get into the groove that they want to be in, and the rotations are kind of been very spontaneous, not consistent. So this team needs to still find their rhythm, and they're going to struggle. But I think, and you're going to see, some of these guys have had some really good games, and then some of them have, they've also had some bad games, and that's just going to come with the course of being an NBA player in a normal NBA season. And people overreacting to those kind of things are, that's one, it's not productive. Two, please shut up. You're overreacting. Please stop. And I know you're just hating on DeJounte Murray because he shot like 0 for 14. You're just finding something to hate DeJounte Murray on.
Well, let's dive into this losing streak and let's get rid of the ugly stuff first before we get into the positives of this. Look, they've been out rebounded 4 games straight. Now, you contribute that to LaMarcus Aldridge being out. Maybe some on Jakob and Drew. You know, they're not doing what they got to do. Also in this losing streak, 3 of the consecutive losses, they're shooting the ball from the 3-point line badly. They have lower 3-point percentage than their opponent. Got 3 home losses, 2 consecutive games of less assists than their opponent. You look at all of it around, it just seems like they're just doing a little bit of everything not right. It's not like, you know, they're clamping down on defense, but they cannot, but they cannot get their offense going. They're getting their offense going, but they can't clamp down on defense. I think that's the situation they're in right now. They're just not doing enough to get wins. Because if you look at the losing streak, they're neck and neck with opponents. They're shooting a respectable high 40% shooting from the field, a high 30% from the 3-point line. They're actually out blocking teams in the losing streak. They're getting crushed on the boards. We talked about that. But they have more assists in the losing streak than opponents. What it comes down to, Ty, is just execution. And I think, yeah, they're just playing teams that are just frankly better than them right now. And in that fourth quarter, as we saw against the Lakers, especially that second game, the Lakers just have more moxie, more experience than these guys. And that's what it comes down to, Ty.
Also, they got Bear Calls. Sorry.
And then there's that, yeah.
Oh, no, but you're right. It's also going back to the young guys where they're just learning, and these are some of the first consistent minutes they've gotten in throughout their career so far. So they're going to learn. They're going to make mistakes. I did kind of a thread on my Twitter Monday morning of kind of just things I was noticing that I didn't like throughout that first quarter against the Jazz, and it's just defensive lapses, poor judgment. It's like young player errors most of them. Mm-hmm. So. It is a learning experience for these young guys. This team is doing some things well. It's not doing other things well, not well enough. Mm-hmm. I will say that this team has already made adjustments in terms of defense. Starting on like the first few games, they were horrible in forcing turnovers. But then against the Jazz on Sunday night, they forced 20 turnovers. Mm-hmm. So I gotta give them props for that, for making the adjustment and doing something well. The only issue is, while they did force 20 turnovers, they only got 22 points off that turnover. Yeah. I know 22 points seems a lot, but whenever you can have a minimum of 40 points off turnovers, if you're just doing basic math, say you get a bucket for every turnover you do, that's 40 points, and you left more than half of that on the table. Come on. It's a bit disappointing.
Yeah, and you look at what they're doing. If we just look at the last 3 games, for example, sort of the 4-game losing streak, Their scoring is down. They're averaging 106.3. To start the season, they were one of the better teams putting the ball in the bucket. That has gone down. They're still one of the better teams when it comes to assist. I think they rank about 5th or 6th in the NBA at 23.7 per game.
So they're 5th.
They're 5th? Okay, thank you. So that's a good sign. You know, they're sharing the ball. So, yay.
I don't understand that assist number because – one of the issues I do have with the Spurs team is a lack of meaningful ball movement. I went back to that first quarter of the Jazz game. I kept track of of a number of passes per possession in the half court. So I didn't count any fast breaks or anything like that because that's just a very different kind of set. But majority, so out of the, I'm going to say, I can't even forget the numbers exactly, but I counted like almost about 20, 25 different possessions. Out of those possessions, eight of them had zero passes in them. Besides the initial pass in to inbounds, there was no additional pass. Five of them only had a single pass, and six of them had only had two passes. Now there were two possessions that had five passes in total, but they were not meaningful possessions. They were not meaningful passes. These were passes of just trying to bail each other out, wasn't going anywhere, didn't create any opportunities, and they both resulted in turnovers. And while this team may be fifth in assist, they need to get more meaningful ball movement around the court and allow opportunities to open up.
Yeah, well, you know, we were hopping on the negative, and the whole point of this segment is talking about the positives out of four. What would you say was a big positive that you're seeing, even though they're losing right now?
To find positives, you still need to call out the negatives, because eventually you're going to find, like I said earlier, where I called out that they weren't forcing turnovers, they eventually did. So I think we need to highlight this so you can kind of keep an eye and see if they adjust. The other thing I do enjoy is the effort. This team does have effort, and they are putting it out there. They're actually sixth in the pace in the league, which is very unheard of for a Popovich team. But this is also his youngest lineup that he's ever had.
Yeah, it is.
And I will still, even though the team was down like 30 at one point, I was still getting hyped because of Keldon Johnson against the Jazz. And that's fun to watch. So even though like last season you saw this team get blown out, it was just hard to watch. This game was not hard to watch for me, at least in terms of watching Keldon just plow at defenders.
Yep.
Still getting me hyped up and still bringing energy no matter what. And then you saw young guys like Trey Jones bring some energy whenever he came out in garbage time. He was doing really well. So no matter, even if they're down, they're still showing energies, at least specifically from these young guys. And that is still fun to watch. That will be giving them a positive. I think that's going to keep them in some games. We saw it keep them against the Lakers where, yeah, they went down by double digits, but they got back. So bringing that energy is going to help them win some games.
Yeah, and the positive that's coming out of the losing streak right now is simply that they're just learning. You're showing some signs of progress. Now, maybe throughout the game versus Utah, where everybody just looked bad, especially on the defensive end, but if you look at that Laker series they had at home, they were competitive in both games, super competitive in the second game. You mentioned Keldon Johnson, you know, he's coming into his own. I think he has how many games in a row with 20 or more points now? I mean, he's you know, showing that he has the goods to compete at this level. And then there's also, yeah, I mean, so they get blown out by Utah, but Trey Jones gets some run, Devin Vassell gets some run, Luka Samanić made an appearance in the game versus Utah, and even Popovich addressed that after the loss to Utah, saying that those guys, he's referring to Luka and Trey and Devin, that they got themselves a good chunk of time to take advantage of that, and we saw that. And again, if the goal was for development and extension of Orlando, and all Spurs fans wanted to see the young guns take their lumps, this comes with the territory, and this should be a good thing because they're thinking future forward, Ty.
Definitely, and probably the most exciting thing is out of the four leading scorers, three of them are DeJounte, Keldon, and Lonnie. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. And even though DeMar DeRozan's leading the team at 21.3 points per game, to see DeJounte and Keldon and Lonnie at the top of that list, that means they're getting touches. That means they're getting significant minutes. But all of them are averaging nearly 30 minutes a game. That's what you want. They're going to get run. They're going to learn. And honestly, they're going to get better. And I think that if you think Keldon Johnson is good right now, that dude's going to get even better. He's going to start developing more tools in his bag. I think the tools that we saw last night was adding a spin move to his drive. Do you know how dangerous that's going to be once Keldon Johnson starts adding some additional footwork to his already like Mustang-esque drives? The dude is going to be dangerous, and he's only in his second year. Yeah. So there's a lot of exciting things. You just have to be patient. As a Spurs fan, I know this is rough. I know it's going to be difficult, Don't worry. Okay. We're here for each other, but be patient.
Okay, but that's my thing, though, Ty. Over the 8 games in the bubble and over the offseason, here we are now. This is what everybody wanted. This is exactly what they wanted to see. No more Keldon and Austin and Lonnie riding the bench and, you know, oh, we got Devin, the rookie. Oh, he's never going to see time on the NBA court. They're going to send him to Austin. Well, they're getting the burn now.
And Devin's getting 16 minutes per game.
Yeah, and here it is. And, yeah, these guys need seasoning. They had 8 games in Orlando in a very controlled environment where they were just playing against competition that maybe was at their level. And then when they did play teams that are the upper tier, they already were a lock for the playoffs. The Spurs were just fighting to get into a play-in tournament situation. They almost nearly pulled it off. So now it's the real deal. Now this is it. And they're getting a taste of what it's like. And yeah, they're realizing that the bubble is gone now. This is a regular NBA season game minus 10 games. Ty, another positive that I see coming out of this losing streak is the patience of Greg Popovich. He's been very patient with these kids. I remember in past media sessions at the AT&T Center when it was the Big Three era and a loss was like something huge. I mean, it was as if like they just lost Game 7 NBA Finals. Now, Popovich isn't so surly. He isn't so, you know, short with the media. He's talking. He's trying to tell them, I'm seeing their growth. He talked to me about Keldon Johnson after the Utah game and saying that he's a bright spot right now for the Spurs early on this season. So, you know, he's open to that. And I think it's simply because Popovich, the coaching staff, Buford, Wright, they all know it is what it is. This team is just not there yet.
And also we saw that once Pop gave guys patience in Manu and Tony, they really showed off and became the great players they became. And I think Pop is taking another learning lesson from prior in his career. Say, just be patient with these guys, allow them to grow, allow them to make the mistakes, and allow them to become better players for it. So he also knows that this team has the potential to be something pretty damn good. But again, it just takes time. If Pop can have patience, we should too. Because Pop is, as we know, Poppy the 10 has not been a patient person because he's been through 22 years of success. And he's learning with us. And I think that if Popovich is going to be able to be patient with these guys, Spurs fans should be too.
Now, look, we're trying to focus on the positive and we're going to try to do that. But you cannot bring up his name and kind of scratch your head. And that's Jakob Poeltl. I mean, here's a guy that I really believed with LMA out that he would seize the opportunity to be Jakob Poeltl as the way he was saying he was during the offseason when he was looking for a contract. You saw the articles on the Spurs Zone, Ty. He's all, I want to be my worth. I know I can contribute more to a team. So far, he's come up short. Are you concerned?
I'm not concerned. Again, it's early in the season. I would be lying if I said I was not disappointed in his performances so far, but I think once there's also kind of a learning curve in terms of building consistency, and Jakob has not really been able to have that in terms of his minutes. His minutes have always varied throughout the season, and the prior seasons, and going into this season already, they've kind of varied with the foul trouble he's been getting in. That really part of it has not been his fault, just because we saw this in the bubble too, where he's getting called for some really iffy ticky-tack fouls or some fouls that really should not be called in the first place. I know I use that a lot, but it's like it's consistent now. It's really upsetting because I hate because we know that this guy will get into foul trouble because of stupid little fouls that for some reason are not going his way. And we don't know. I don't know why. I can't explain it. If the dude bumps a guy with his waist, it's a foul. Mm-hmm. His hands are up. He's not touching the guy, but his hip touches him. Oh, no, it's a foul. He must go to the line.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think once he starts getting consistent minutes, once he's able to start getting into a rhythm, and then also once the refs stop not calling his name for really ticky-tack fouls, I think you're going to find him getting into a rhythm. I know that his block – he hasn't been the blocker Poeltl that we've known him to be, but I think also it's a – It's a young season still, and he can always build into it. And again, this team is completely out of rhythm with how the injuries have been.
Yeah, and they're competitive. We talked about it a little bit against the Lakers, the home series against them. But if you break it down quarter by quarter to start the season after six games, they're in it. You know, right now we go by quarter by quarter right now. So quarter one, the Spurs average about 27 points in the opening period. Opponents 30, so they're keeping it tight. You look at the second quarter, Spurs are averaging about 28.5 points. Opponents are 27.2. Again, keeping it close. Same thing with the third and fourth. Third, 28.5. Opponents, 30. Quarter four, final period, 26.7. Opponents, 27.8. They're hanging in games. So credit to them. They're not getting completely manhandled, minus the Utah game. So there is that. That tells me that this team isn't rolling over, that they're trying. And they're trying to be competitive. And I think... even Keldon Johnson said that this young team is nothing but full of competitors, and the numbers show that, Ty.
It's definitely, and that's why I said my major pro to this team is their effort. They don't stop, and they won't stop. And again, even against that 121-107 Laker loss, I still say they were competitive that whole game. I know the Lakers got up to a biggest lead of 18 at one point. Spurs still brought that back down to single digits. They kept were not letting the Lakers get to just like sit down and rest. LeBron didn't go out of that game until like 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And some people were still saying, I don't think the Spurs kept it competitive. It's like, LeBron would not be playing until 2 minutes left in the fourth if it wasn't a competitive game and if it wasn't and the Lakers were not being kept on their toes by the Spurs offense, the Spurs team. So it's fun to, again, I said, this team is fun to watch. It's because of them keeping these games competitive, even if they are down by 18 at some point.
Well, let's hear from Popovich about the start to the season and, you know, the young guys learning.
It's good for them. I mean, it's not good for the record, but it's good for our basketball team as far as long-term is concerned and as the season goes along. You know, it's the first 7 out of 10 games to start out or against playoff teams. And we're going to be on the road here for about 9 or 10 days. So it's a tough start, you know, for those young guys. But they'll benefit from it in the long run.
I mean, how much clearer can you get, Ty?
You can't. And I know some people are saying, oh, these are moral victories, but they are not getting paid for moral victories. Like, shut up. This team still needs to develop. And everyone knows that. You're just calling this out just to be a troll, whatever the hell you want to call it. But it's... if Popovich is one to be, like I said earlier, if he's willing to be patient with these guys and he's allowing them to develop, that's a good sign because we know that these guys are young. These guys are barely in their 20s already. Keldon Johnson is like 84 days into being 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They still have time and they're not even in their prime. They're usually a athlete's prime or prime in human athleticism is like 25 to 32.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even there yet, and no. And Keldon Johnson's doing some fantastic things. So, patience is going to be the virtue here, and you got to be patient with these guys and developing and getting them used to a team. This team is going to be very different going to next season, mm-hmm. and that's going to be the key. That's going to be the key season to see if this team is going to be successful down the road or not. And I think they will, but this I know I keep repeating myself. This is a transition season.
Yeah, and if you want to see development as far as numbers are concerned, well, you got it. In just his sophomore season, in six games to start his sophomore season, Keldon Johnson, 16.2 points per game, 7.5 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 1.5 steals. There you have it. DeJounte Murray, you know, he's in, his sixth season? Ty, I think it is, something like that. Technically his fifth, right. But yeah, so 15 points per game, 6.8 rebounds, 5.8 assists, 1.5 steals. Again, you know, proving to be a value to this team. Lonnie Walker, 12.7. He took a big leap. Look, he's now averaging double figures when he never did to start his career. 12.7 points per game, 3.2 rebounds, 1.8 assists. So you're seeing development, you know, you like to see it. And hey, they're only going to get better. You mentioned Vassell, you know, 16 minutes per game. You know, he's contributing. They may not be, wow numbers, but, you know, 3.4 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal in about 15 minutes. I mean, I'll take it. Most of the time, Ty, I don't know if you watch the scoreboard or the box score as it develops. Whenever Vassell's on there, he's usually heavy plus on the plus minus. He really is. I don't know if you ever caught that.
He is, and it's whenever he's out there, it makes the team better. And I can't wait to see more of him. And I think you are with Derek White going to be out for, I'm not going to say a significant amount of time, but a certain amount of time. And Devin Vassell, or his show last night, he was going to get some additional minutes. Is he going to be a key contributor to the offense? I don't think so. Defensively, yes, especially coming off the bench.
And speaking of Vassell, you had some interesting video to share on social media about Vassell's defensive impact. What did you find out?
Dude is just a spider monkey. He won't stop moving, and I love it. And whenever, again, just the defensive effort that he brings, holy hell, that's fun to watch. There was the play that I shared was he stopped the screen from being successful. He was defending the screener and didn't allow, I want to say it was Mike Conley as the ball handler. He didn't allow Mike Conley to get into the paint. He then chased his man around. His man got around a screen, and I want to say then Rudy Gobert got the ball. He was a screener, like the one to the left corner. Devin Vassell, he looks like he's flailing his arms, but somehow he's keeping the speed. He sees that Gobert has the ball and is going to the rim. Man just makes the change, goes up, and I'm not sure if he blocked or contested, but he made Rudy Gobert miss a dunk and force a turnover. And you're consistently seeing him run plays like that. He's just running out on the defensive end, and he's causing chaos for teams on the offensive end. So it's fun to watch him. And if he's doing this in his rookie season in his first 5 games, this has to be exciting. And knowing that if this is his start level, imagine how high he can go.
Yeah, and I think little by little you're gonna see that with Vassell. It all depends on Derek White and his, you know, recovery. But even then, the Spurs are known for being super conservative with their injured players. I still even say that even when White gets back, you'll still see a splash of Vassell during games, and he does make an impact. It may not show up on the stat sheet, as Ty pointed out, but, you know, he does make an impact, even if it's deflections, even if it's steals, even if it's tap outs. He'll do something for the benefit of the team. Ty,
he had three steals last night or on Sunday night.
There you go. 3 steals in how many minutes? Exactly. You know, that he's making the most of the time that he's getting out there. So, yes, a 4-game losing streak on paper is bad, and record-wise, yeah, it sucks right now, you know. But this is growth. This is part of that path. But, Ty, is there going to come a point in the season where this is going to get tired, where repeating the whole development season is going to be like, yes, we know they're losing because of this development? Do you think if you project it out, there's got to be a point in the season where that excuse kind of has to go to the side now and you say, okay, young Spurs, you've had a half season now. Let's see some major improvement now. You think that's going to come down the road?
It definitely is. And knowing Spurs fans' expectations are always high. My expectations are going to be high on this team. So I expect them to show some strides, not make these rookie inexperienced mistakes that they are making currently. I hope to not see them going like midway through a season or late in the season. I just hope to not see that. But there also needs to be some lineup changes, some rotation changes in terms of getting guys healthy, getting the proper personnel out there, who's working, who's not working in and out of the lineup. There's going to be some changes that the front office is going to have to do. But yes, I agree that the young guys need to do their part and show that they can consistently improve and make the stride to be good players and not make inexperienced mistakes.
Well, after the loss to Utah, here's what Lonnie Walker had to say about the start to the season.
Not too really worried about how the team is going. I think we're doing pretty well. You know, Keldon's starting to step up and be Keldon Johnson. You know, DeMar still being DeMar. You know, we just, as a team, have to, pick it up and stay at it.
I mean, if Lonnie Walker's not too worried, And he's in the trenches. He's on that in the uniform doing what needs to be done on that court. And all these Spurs fans should worry as well. Ty, your thoughts?
Again, I got to put myself in the perspective of a Spurs fan, a cynical Spurs fan, and say that, oh, he's just saying that to say that. He's worried. He doesn't want to be there. It's like, dude, shut up, please. But it no, but if these guys think their team can be good, but they and they've consistently all of them have said that, yeah, we're hurting because of injuries. And it's I think and they all say that if they can get healthy that they can be a better team. And I think I can agree with that.
Yeah, DeJounte said that earlier this season. Remember when he says like, oh, we don't have Derek back and that's gonna be scary.
And look whenever they did have Derek back, even though he re-injured himself, look at that, how competitive that game was. It was the Spurs only lost by how many points? Mm-hmm. There were 6 points to the defending champions. So, and again, honestly, there was some horrible calls in that last 2 minutes, but still, for them to be that competitive with Derek White back, Derek White is the MVP of this team. He's the most valuable guy on that team. So, it's, again, those injuries are holding them back in terms of how good they can be, because they can be a really good ball club when Derek White's on the floor. And it will be interesting to see what this team does with and how they rebound, I know, pun intended, whenever they get LaMarcus back. See how the team does whenever he – I know that he was not great in terms of his box score and how he did well, but maybe there's another influence that we are just not seeing whenever he's out on the floor. So it will be interesting to see how this team comes back with, one, having LaMarcus back, and two, seeing how good they can be with a healthy Derek.
No, by the time this episode of Lockdown Sports is out, I had already released an article of the Q&A I did with DeJounte Murray. And he told me that he goes, you have to keep an eye on us. And he's talking about the young guys because he's seeing the future. He's seeing the projected outlook for this team. So the young guys are confident in themselves, and they got to be. And we know that. We see that. And I think even though it's a 4-game losing streak, there are going to be a point where we look back on this and be like, aren't we glad that these young guys played? Because now look what they're doing. You know, I think there will be a time when that comes. It may not be now. It may not even be the end of the season. But there will be a time, depending if this team is still together as is, where you'll look back at the start of this season or this season as a whole and be, whew, good thing we did that developmental season. I think that will come, Ty.
It will. And people will be praising the front office at some point for it. But you're gonna get through the kinks of all this and figure out what works, what doesn't work, and improve upon it.
When we get back, we're gonna look at tonight's matchup, Spurs and Clippers. What are some keys to victory for the Spurs to break this 4-game losing skid? But before we do that, let's quickly talk about Bet Online. Like, the playoff picture is clear now in the NFL. You have NBA going on right now. A lot of stuff going on in the world of sports. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. So, hey, go there right now. And when you also visit the website, betonline.ag, make sure to support them on social media, on Twitter, @betonline_ag, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use that promo code locked on for your sign up bonus. By the way, when you do use Twitter, use their hashtag betonline. We are back, and I'm joined by Ty Yeager. He is a contributor at the Spurs Zone, and make sure to follow him on Twitter at the Ty Yeager. Speaking of the Spurs Zone, Coyote had himself a night, didn't he?
The man got himself a I wouldn't call it a banner because it's a bit small.
A post-it note?
Nah, it's a bit bigger of a post-it note. It's like the extra large post-it note. It's not like a small post-it note. Like, you can write like a good two paragraphs on it, but you're not going to get much else.
Yeah, in case you missed it, well, Ty has you covered. Yesterday he had an article about the Spurs Coyotes' big night where the team honored him for winning the 2020 NBA Mascot of the Year, and things went horribly wrong. Math was involved, and maybe the Coyotes didn't do the right measurement. Ty, is that the best way to sum it up?
Chuck said that it's, buddy, it's the banners are in feet, not centimeters.
And there you have it. Go check out Ty's article about the Coyotes' big night. Nevertheless, congratulations to him. It is out right now. And go check out the hilarious video. So, Ty, hopefully the Spurs are not on the butt of a joke tonight as the Spurs face the Clippers and are looking to avoid a five-game losing skid. When you look at tonight's matchup, Ty, and you're in that locker room with the Spurs and you have that coaching hat on, what are you telling the guys? What do they have to do to try to get a W tonight?
Go all in on offense. This Clippers team, as good as you'd think they would be on defense, they're only 22nd in the league, and opponents going up against them are first. Whenever you look at league opponent rankings against opposing teams, against the Clippers, teams are ranking first in blocks and steals against them. So if you can just strive against them against their defense, and just put up against their defense and then put up some defense against them, I think you can have a solid night, because they still have they're still going through a little hiccups. They do have one of the fifth best offense in the league. So you do have a defensive assignment whenever you're going up against Kawhi and Paul George.
Right.
But if you can keep up with them offensively, you can stay in games with them.
For me, I think it's something that we all know. Try to manage the boards. As of this recording, we do not know LaMarcus Aldridge will be back. We know Derek White probably won't be on the road trip. But
and what's funny enough, too, is if you do go against the boards, they're only ranked 29th in right. the league in total rebounds.
Yeah. I think they got to take advantage of that. You're looking at you, Poeltl, and Eubanks, and Lyles if you get run. Murray, if you rebound from a bad game against the Utah Jazz, they got to control the boards. And I think that is a glaring thing right now that's hurting the Spurs right now in this four-game streak is just rebounding. They're getting out-rebounded 51.0 rebounds to 46.2 rebounds during their four-game skid. That needs to be cleaned up ASAP. And here's the other thing, too. Defend the three-point line. We don't want to have a repeat of what happened against the Jazz. Right now, the Clippers average 14.4 three-point makes per game. They got to control that three-point line, Ty.
Yep, and the Clippers are in second in three-point percentage, so you just can't let them get hot. Luckily, they don't attempt as many as the Jazz do. Jazz had just a crazy amount of attempts in the league. I believe it was nearly first in attempts at over 40 a game, so if you can just keep their attempts low and then shoot them. If you can shoot them out of the gym, you're going to have a good night. I know this is currently, in terms of standings, the best team in the West at 5-2, but they are no different than any other team where they do have their weaknesses that you can exploit, especially since they lost to Dallas by a league record. It was bad.
Yeah, that was quite. If you're a Spurs fan, you loved it. I mean, seeing Kawhi Leonard be on that end, but he wasn't even playing, so there goes that chance for Spurs fans to have fun at the expense of Kawhi. But nevertheless, when I look at this Spurs team, you look at the last two games, they're getting out assisted. They had two consecutive games with less assists than their opponents. They got to share the ball, they got to spread it around. And here's the thing for me, Ty. I mentioned this in the last Locked On Spurs. I'm going to get your thoughts. I don't want a trend to start where they're just relying solely on Keldon to generate their own energy. You hear that a lot from the players. Lonnie, we just heard, oh, Keldon's being Keldon. That's great. I'm glad for Keldon. Good. And I'm glad the Spurs have a guy like Keldon on the roster. But Keldon cannot shoulder the load. He's just in the sophomore season. He's going to hit the wall, and you don't want that.
And I think the way that this team could be developing – at least their game plan is getting Keldon Johnson to go off, and eventually teams are going to really dedicate their defenses to defending Keldon Johnson and double teaming him, which leave some guys open. Maybe it's going to leave a Lonnie Walker open at the 3-point line a bit more often than he should. Maybe it's going to leave some driving lanes for DeJounte Murray to take advantage of. Maybe DeMar DeRozan's going to just start shooting from deep too himself. If they can start getting Keldon to cook these defenses up and make other teams notice him, it's going to help open up the lanes. It's going to be, look at Luka Doncic, look at LeBron James, those kind of guys that they generate enough offense to where other teams need to keep them honest, but that's just going to leave opportunities for other guys to take advantage of. And so I wouldn't be surprised if that's kind of how the game plan's going, especially with how Kelvin Johnson's just been on fire. And still, I agree that I don't think he's going to be able to handle that load. So his teammates are going to step up. But I think that it could be 40 chess that we could be looking at. But I don't think it's that in depth, but there could still be some behind the scenes planning that they're taking advantage of.
Yeah, I mean, teams are going to key on Keldon, and good. You know, I hope they do for his individual development, so he can learn how to, you know, get out of that situation and rely on his teammates. But he's going to pass out. He's going to have to pass out of that double team. And guess what? His teammates are going to need to knock him down or also create other shots for themselves. And look, DeMar he's been steady this whole season. He had one bad game, but for the most part, he's been steady. DeJounte's been steady. And Lonnie, we talked about in the first segment, he's upping his point production. But they need more. They just need to have a more of a balanced attack. And it's imbalanced right now.
And I think, though, looking at how DeMar's playing in his averages, where he's averaging 7 assists a game, that's good. That means he's getting his teammates involved. And you just need these guys to start knocking down shots, to not be afraid to take a 3-point shot that might be contested, to not be afraid to drive in and then kick out. They're going to need to really build some confidence, as we've always said, and be able to say, I'm going to commit to this drive. Lonnie Walker is going to start bodying people like Kelvin Johnson has. It just needs a confidence boost, and luckily you're going to see that with the more games they play, the more confidence they're going to get, the more experience they're going to get, and the smarter they're going to get.
The Spurs come into tonight's game 2-4, and the Clippers are 5-2, and the Spurs, as you mentioned, are on a 4-game losing streak. Overall, the Spurs have lost 2 straight to the Los Angeles Clippers. Hopefully they will snap that losing streak as well. You're looking at tonight's matchup, Ty, and I get it. The sexy one is DeMar and Kawhi, and because of the history. But is there another player that you think the Spurs should key on? Is it Paul George? Is it somebody else? Is it as simple as that? Is just slow down one of those two guys, and you got a shot.
Paul George is going to be your primary target that you need to defend, because guess who's leading that team in scoring? It's not Kawhi, it's Paul George. And Paul George has kind of been on a tear lately as well, so you need to really go at him. Luckily, he's leading that team in a really horrid 4.6 turnovers per a game.
Yikes.
That's bad. However, he's shooting the ball at 50% from the field, so that's and 49% from deep, so that's not a yikes. That's a yikes for your defense. Again, this is one of the best ranked offenses in the league. But if you can take advantage of their defensive lapses, if you can force this Clippers team to commit turnovers, specifically Paul George, you're going to have a good time against them. You're going to have to keep up against them offensively if you're going to want to do anything. But yeah. You're looking. I think that you're seeing Keldon versus Paul George on the defensive matchup. I'm not sure who would go against Kawhi on the defensive matchup yet.
Lonnie, maybe.
Maybe you see some Devin Vassell come out there. But I think you're going to see a lot more big guys coming in and play, because this is a big team. You have guys like Serge, Zubac, Nicholas Batum.
Yeah.
You got a lot of big guys that you're going to have to really defend. And I think Drew Eubanks should get some run in terms of, because he can match up with them athletically. And he's shown that he can be a pretty solid defender. But offensively, he hasn't been really keeping up. But none of our centers have been keeping up. So maybe you do need that LaMarcus Aldridge out there offensively. I'm not sure how the defensive matchup would go. But if you really want to go into an offensive shootout, I think LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be needed.
Yeah, and we'll definitely see. Hopefully by the time this show gets out there, we'll know whether or not LMA is going to play. If he is, then great. Up on the boards, and he will do, as of right now, Ty, a lot more than what Jakob is doing for the team. But if he isn't, then, well, it's going to be all hands on deck. And, we're talking about assist earlier, and I think you mentioned the Spurs are, what, 5th in the NBA in assists per game? I believe you said that. Or was
yes,
it long? Yeah. Well, there was a point early in the season where the Spurs were averaging 30 or more assists per game. They really were sharing the ball. Now, that's come down a bit, but I get it. It's only, 6 games? But they're undefeated right now when they have 27 or more assists on a game. They're 2-0. So there's something that they can hang their hat on right now. They need something to inspire them. You know, hey, get that ball going. And
like I said, meaningful and quality ball movement is going to be needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here's the thing too. Look, they're one thing that the Spurs are really good at is taking care of the ball. They're third in the NBA in turnovers. They don't really turn the ball over that much. What also is surprising to me, and I still want Keldon to attack that rim, but in the game versus Utah, for a player that attacks the rim as much as he does, he only went to the free throw line twice. That's a little bit of a head-scratcher there, Ty.
It's not surprising, especially after what we've seen against the Lakers, and then also knowing that just how DeMar doesn't get his calls, it's not a surprise that Keldon is not getting his calls. But luckily, Keldon is making those shots still, and he's still even through the contact, he's making it. So he's finishing through contacts consistently, and I think that's going to really help him. And then once he does start getting those foul calls, there's going to be so many and ones from the man. But it's not a surprise that he's not going to the line. As a whole, the Spurs rank 22nd in the league in free throw attempts, while their opponents rank 7th whenever going up against them. So there's a clear discrepancy. And we all know that the NBA has had its fair share of discrepancies when it comes to ref calls. And it's not me just trying to call the refs and start some conspiracy theory. It's legitimately been out there. Look at the Kings versus the Lakers back in the 2000s.
Do you think this is just a byproduct of the team being a young team, that they haven't earned theirs, if you know what I mean? And that's why refs are more apt to not blow the whistle on them?
I think so, which I still think is extremely stupid. It's unfortunately the NBA or basketball reffing in general is so much more subjective than most sports. It's not like football or soccer where it's like there's some clear cut things. This is just so much more subjective, and players like LeBron are going to get those whistles because of their names, unfortunately. But I think Keldon Johnson's type of game, he's going to have to get foul calls drawn because he is so physical. He's always driving towards the rim, and knowing how the league is very shooter and player protective, Keldon is definitely going to have to start getting some calls.
You will hope that that'll start sooner than later, because Keldon is kind of the centerpiece for the team right now. Well, he is. And they need him to get going, but he needs help. And DeMar is providing that help on the offensive end. Lonnie, to a certain degree. DeJounte, sure. But, I guess playing against a team like the Clippers, we just heard from Popford saying that, hey, it's not easy to start the season. Then they are aware of it. Then bring your A game. Simple as that. Yeah, Pop had to go to the soft card already, Ty, after the game versus Utah. You don't want to go to that card again.
Do we have stats on the Spurs after being called soft by Pop?
That'd be awesome.
I feel like that has to be a positive stat. Like whenever they're called soft, they go on some sort of amazing run, or they have some sort of amazing record after, like, say 26-4 or something like that. I don't know. I'm just saying some random numbers.
I feel like
there's a positive stat in there.
Well, I think. So far through 6 games, they played 500 plus teams. Well, average, 0.500, winning records. 500 plus 4 times. They haven't won one yet. So they're playing against one tonight.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Their two wins came against a sub 500. So, yeah.
When I was going to say to other people trying to step up and help Keldon, the veterans need to step up. If LaMarcus is out there, he needs to step up his game. He cannot have the performances that he did. Rudy Gay needs to really improve his shooting. He needs to get consistent. I know he's putting up shots because the team really needs an additional 3-point volume shooter with Derek White out. But these guys really need to improve their shooting. Patty Mills is the one that is showing up on the shooting. He has probably some of the best shooting in the league currently. But these veterans need to really show up for their young guys.
And hopefully they'll do that tonight. All right, when we get back, we're going to wrap up this episode of Locked On Spurs and catch up on some news and notes. And before we do that, I want to talk to you about RockAuto.com. Yeah, it's been a while since we had Rock Auto here, but they're back. And they're asking you to go visit their website right now, rockauto.com. It's a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. You need a tail lamp? They got it. New carpet? They got it. Oil? They got it. Everything you can think of for your classic or daily driver, you get everything there at rockauto.com with a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. That catalog is unique and easy to navigate. You can see all the parts available for your vehicle. You can choose the brand, specifications, prices that you prefer. And best of all, rockauto.com always has reliably low prices. And they're same for you and professionals and do-it-yourselfers. They got great prices. Simple as that. Why spend up to twice as much for the same car parts? So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there. How did you hear about us? Box with another we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. We are back, and I'm joined by Ty Yeager. He is the co-host of At The Line Podcast and At The Line YouTube Show. Both are out right now. Simple as that. Go to YouTube, Google At The Line, and you'll see it right there. By the way, nice work on the graphic. I like the touch you got there with your work, Ty.
Thank you. I got to give credit to Jonas Clark, who is our producer. He does a lot of the visuals. I just come in with a nice suit and green screen, and I had to make myself look good in person, but he makes everything else look great.
And now I believe At The Line is venturing into pregame meetups virtually. I think At The Line did that recently, where they had a watch party. That's what you kids call it, the watch party. So
the watch party. Yes, we're going to start doing some watch parties throughout the season. So again, if you want any more information, keep up with our Twitter. That's going to be At The Line Show. And for more information on At The Line Podcast, it's going to be At The Line Pod.
So let's catch up on some news and notes that you may have missed over the last few days, especially with the long holiday break from the New Year's Eve until today. So LeBron James was at a loss for words, Ty, when a graphic recently appeared when the Spurs and Lakers met up, comparing his run to the Spurs dynasty. LeBron has been a Spurs fan for as long as I can imagine. There's a picture of him as a teen flowing out there in a George Gervin Iceman Spurs jersey. He's even told DeJounte Murray that he was going to the best organization in the league when he got drafted. So LeBron James shows a lot of love for San Antonio, Ty. He did it once again. Shame he's never put on that silver and black uniform.
Nope, not at all. Unfortunately, there were some murmurs like back then that he could have possibly joined, but oh well. It makes it a much more fun competition to go up against LeBron.
And they'll see him again shortly. I think what, a couple more days.
Well,
yeah.
At least one more time this season.
Yeah, at least one more time. We don't know what the second half schedule will look like, but as of right now, it appears to be one final time. Also, in some fun Spurs news and notes. Look, Spurs fans, I'll give them this, Ty. When it comes to sneakers, my goodness, there's some really nice artists out there that can put together some custom shoes. Did you happen to see over the weekend San Antonio sneaker artist Demas Martinez? He released some high tops of some Nikes honoring Tim Duncan, splashing with those Fiesta colors. You got TD's 21 there, Spur, everything. You know, Spurs fans, as much as they can be hypercritical of the team, there's some that have some talent, Ty.
Oh, they're the shoes that they're consistently being made. They're some of the best stuff that I've ever seen. I get jealous, and I also look at my wallet and say, I look at my wallet and I'm like, I want those. Wallet, can you be nice to me? I want Fiesta shoes. Please be nice, because some of these designs look awesome.
Did you ever get some Fiesta gear when they released it?
I got a hat.
You got a hat.
I got two hats because I ordered a youth hat on accident.
How'd you do that?
Well, it was the day they released. I was like, this hat's like $5 less than this one. I wonder, why don't I just get this hat? And then I realized my mistake after I pressed purchase.
Dope.
And then I said, okay, I'm going to get a real hat real soon. And I tried to cancel it, but the package still came. So I have a buddy I'm going to send it to. I was going to try to get to him before Christmas, but I got busy myself. So I'm going to be sending it to him so he can get it for his kid. So But don't worry, it's gonna have a real family. But yet I got a hat. I ordered myself a Patty Fiesta jersey, and then my parents got me a Keldon Fiesta jersey. So that's coming in the mail too.
It's not bad. That's a pretty nice little combo there.
So I'll take it. I get two Fiesta jerseys coming on the way, which I can say is I'm going to be grateful for.
I still got to get myself some Fiesta. Well, some new Fiesta gear. I got some 90s vintage Fiesta gear, like back when they first came out, stored away. So maybe I should break that out and make everybody jealous.
You got to do it. You're lacking, buddy. You gotta make up.
Well, one person who may not be lacking as far as a post-NBA career, maybe, just maybe, is Rudy Gay. So Rudy Gay was asked recently, Ty, if he can see himself being a head coach, you know, after his playing days are done. Now, he made it very clear that, you know, his playing days are not done, but once they do come to an end, he's not ruling it completely out. He said during a recent post, I think it was an off day chat hosted by the Spurs, he says that, hey, he's kind of getting his first taste of being a coach this year because he is one of four veterans on a very young Spurs team. Then he goes on to say, we have a really good group here, a really receptive group, and it's making it easier to be a vet here. He goes on to say that if he had a group like this one, Ty, he probably would be into it. Do you think Coach Gay, Rudy Gay, could be a NBA head coach or just like head coach in general?
I think so. You kind of see these guys where like, they really want to become a head coach, and that's good because Rudy Gay has been pretty damn good throughout his career, and it's been a shame that he's never made an All-Star team.
Oh, it's a travesty.
It's a travesty, because especially with how good he's been, with how dangerous he's been on for the teams that he's been with, it's just a travesty that his career has gone to no All-Star appearances. So, but he's a veteran presence. He's been in this league for a while now, and he's going to be a good mentor no matter what. I think he'd be a great coach.
I agree. I can definitely see him being a coach, a college level or NBA level, or even an assistant coach. Would not be surprised. Patty Mills made it very clear that he does not want to dive into head coaching or just coaching in general. Everybody thought Coach Patty was the next to come out of the Spurs Popovich tree because of the bubble. Remember, he was at the clipboard, he was in the coaching huddle, and you know, to start the season, somebody asked him like, oh, you know, so we saw this and that in the bubble, head coach Patty. He's like, no way. So he says no to it, but you never say never, because TD said no, and look what happened, Ty.
Patty knows he can still play, so he's not going to get relegated to a coaching role just yet.
You know, I had a chance to talk to him about FIBA Patty, excuse me. And he said that he's doing solid. That he told me, he goes, Jeff, I'm doing solid this season. You agree with that?
I agree. He has one of the best true shooting percentage and efficient field goal percentage in the league at this moment. I'm looking at the stats right now. Like pull that. I had it up. He's currently shooting effective field goal percentage of 66% and shooting 53% from 3-point range, 51% from the field. That's great. That's excellent types of shooting right there. So he's having some of his great best shooting performances. I think he can even elevate his scoring if he really wanted to.
Well, you can find out more of what's going on with your silver and black by simply visiting the Spurs Zone at News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Everything you need to know about your San Antonio Spurs, including the five things to watch for every game, Locked On Spurs, as well as, and I think this is one of the more underappreciated parts of the Spurs Zone, Ty, is the post-game video comments from the Spurs. After every game, I put up samples of what the team is saying, from Pop to the players, and I'm shocked that nobody really looks at them. I can see the numbers. I'm a little surprised by that, but I'm urging everybody to go check it out. Look, why wait for your newscast? Why wait for ESPN? Why wait for everybody to give you the video when it's there instantly? You can just see it for yourself and make your own evaluation. You don't need to me, or you don't need Ty. You can do your own thing. You can look at what the Spurs and Popovich has to say, and you can analyze that as well. But it's all there at the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. And subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcasts, as well as the rest of the Locked On NBA network, from Locked On Celtics, Locked On Mavericks, Ty's favorite, Locked On Rockets, because he loves the Houston Rockets.
Yeah,
it's all there at the Locked On NBA Network and just the Locked On NBA, Locked On Network in whole. It's, NFL, MLB, it's all there. Go check it out. And follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Ty, take it away.
Again, you can follow me on Twitter at the Ty Jaeger. That's the Ty, J-A-G-E-R. Make sure to check out my podcast, At The Line Podcast, on At The Line Pod, or anywhere where you get your podcast. Again, we did a Spurs trivia. I want to see how you guys do, or if you guys can predict who wins properly. So make sure to go check that out. That's going to be At The Line Pod on Twitter. Make sure to check out our live post-game show, where you can actually call in with your own opinions after every Spurs game. That's going to be At The Line Show on Twitter, or At The Line on YouTube. We're also on Twitch and Facebook. And again, check out my stuff, Spurs Zone, easy as that.
You going to share a photo of you wearing the child size cap?
I haven't opened the box. I'm trying to be nice. I don't want to mess it up. I want the box to be preserved and be perfect for its new owner, because I know I'm never going to be wearing that hat.
That would have been a funny photo. But nevertheless, make sure to follow Ty on Twitter. So for Ty Jaeger, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.